You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I have worked in vain, and I have spent my entire life uselessly. These words of discouragement are from the Bible, the book of Isaiah. And yet for you today, these words may describe exactly how you feel. You are so frustrated and so discouraged by things happening in your life, you are ready to give up. Now what to do? Dr. Martin Charlemagne, who served for many years as a brilliant and God-fearing professor of biblical studies, stated that when we feel down and out, when we are discouraged by what is happening, not only in the world, but even in the church, in those dark hours we need to listen to the powerful, soul-cleansing, strengthening, and life-giving words of Jesus Christ. Dr. Charlemagne stated that one place you and I can receive strength and hope for life is from the parable Jesus told about the sower who went out to sow the seed. Let's listen to it as it is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. The reading from the Bible is as follows. Jesus said, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road. This seed was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as this seed grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Still other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out." Finally, Jesus said, "Some seed fell into the good soil. This seed grew up," and Jesus said it produced a crop 100 times as great. Then Jesus paused and said to those who were listening, as he says even to us today, "He who has ears to hear, let him listen closely." Now the disciples of Jesus were confused. They began to ask Jesus what this parable meant. And Jesus said, "The meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those seeds which fell beside the road are those who have heard the word of God. However, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." Secondly, Jesus explained, "Those seeds which fall on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no firm roots. They believe for a little while, but in times of temptation they fall away." The third seed, which Jesus described, was the seed which fell among the thorns. "These are the ones," Jesus said, "who have heard the word, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and therefore they bring forth no fruit to maturity." Finally, Jesus said, "There is always the seed which falls on good soil or receptive hearts. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Oh, what strength and hope this parable offers you and me for 1987. Jesus said the seed, the power for living, is the Word of God. This Word is always reliable, given good soil or open and receptive hearts. This seed, this Word, will always grow and bear much fruit. In receptive hearts, the Word of God germinates and grows into strong and unshakable faith. Fruits are produced with great joy, even under the most difficult conditions. And my friend, the one thing which may prevent you from possessing this strong faith and fruitful life in 1987 may well be the condition of your heart. Are you skeptical of God's promises in the Bible? Are you looking only for an emotional feeling from your religion? If you are, then your heart is like rocky soil. The word will grow only for a little while, but then it will dry up and die because the roots are not deep in the living word of God. Or if your heart desires worldly possessions, material goods, or the thrill of worldly pleasures, then the seed sown in your heart will be crowded out and choked by these other worldly weed seeds. Now, however, if you are one of those whose heart has been opened by the Word of God, one who possesses good soil by the grace of God, then, Jesus said, the seed, His Word, shall grow strong and produce abundant fruit through you, even under the most difficult times. Now, I say to you, my friend, this is hope for 1987. In this parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus painted a provocative picture. Studying this section of the Word of God is like looking into a mirror. This is, indeed, the thing to do as you and I re-evaluate our lives for 1987. Oh, yes, we cannot help but see ourselves. And perhaps it was your heart or mine that Jesus was speaking about when he said that his word at times falls upon certain soil where it springs up, but the temptations of the world suffocate it and the plant then dies. Oh, great disagreement exists today as to how to overcome hopelessness in life, despair, and meaninglessness in our existence. These individuals now searching for the real life may not know it, but they are actually searching for the life found only in the living Word of God. As an answer, some doctors prescribe drugs such as Valium for their unsettled and anxious patients. Or, not long ago, a frustrated reader wrote a newspaper counselor asking how to cope with discouragement. The columnist, a regular dispenser of counsel and advice, advised the distraught inquirer to go on a shopping spree and to buy something expensive. The counselor said that this often brings happiness. Oh, indeed it might, but only for a while. The satisfaction provided to the hungry human soul by material possessions is only momentary at best. For this reason, Jesus says in John chapter 6, "Do not work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of God shall give you." Again, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh promises nothing. The words that I have spoken to you," Jesus said, "they are spirit and they are life." It is no wonder, then, that for centuries Christians, even at funerals of loved ones, have exhibited great peace and happiness. Indeed, the rapid and unexpected loss of a loved one frequently brings all of us tears. Yet these tiny droplets of grief dry up rapidly. Loved ones who die with a living word planted deeply in their hearts die with eternal life in their soul. And then when the glorious spring of the final resurrection shall soon take place, all loved ones who died trusting in Jesus Christ shall be raised unto life everlasting. Oh yes, my friend, let the living word find receptive soil within your repentant heart, and then the parable Jesus told shall be your precious hope. This parable also permits you and me to reevaluate our lives as we launch into the coming 12 months. These months, which you know as well as I, will be a sea of uncertainty. This parable, this teaching of Jesus, is absolutely crucial. The Savior says, "Those of you in 1987 who have ears to hear, then be sure to listen closely." And so, my friend, Jesus is inviting you personally to compare your life today, the situation in your heart and soul, to the soil described in his parable. Is the soil in your heart rocky? Perhaps as a youth and teenager, you loved to go to Sunday school and to church. And perhaps you enjoyed all the youth activities, and the powerful hymns were exciting, yes, even thrilling. But then, as years passed, the seeds sown within you begin to dry up. The soil of your heart was very shallow. Oh, this has happened to thousands of people. They begin skipping church and Sunday school, and finally they no longer attend at all. Spiritually, they dry up and die because the word cannot take root in the shallow and rocky, hard soil of their hearts. The roots of faith are not deep. Their faith is rooted only in surface excitement and fleeting emotional feelings. Oh, my friend, does this describe your spiritual life today? Once you were involved in Bible study activities, Sunday school, and church, and you found it all exciting, but now you are no longer interested. If so, Jesus is speaking to you. Let those who have ears to hear today, let them listen carefully. Or perhaps you can identify with another type of soil Jesus spoke about. Jesus said that sometimes his seed of life, his holy word, falls among thorns. This happens when people hear the word of God in church and Sunday school. And yet, after a while, the thorns of Sunday morning shopping become more important. These thorns crowd out the hearing of the word. Weekend camping, 3-day hunting and fishing trips, bowling tournaments, and other activities choke the precious little plant. The temptations of the world smother these tiny, fragile seedlings of life. Oh, finally, these people, deprived of their life-giving seed of life, the living word of God, become confused. The devil is then winning. And the devil has these people then ensnared like a spider traps a fly in a web. These people then find their lives meaningless and totally without hope. At the end of his parable, Jesus now talks about the ideal, healthy, happy, strong life. This is where people hear the word of God regularly. Their heart, the soil in which the seed falls, is open and receptive. They attend worship services regularly, where the word of God is proclaimed in all of its truth and purity. They attend Sunday school where the word is taught, daily family devotions, plant the living word deep into the soil of all family members. The result, of course, is the joy and the thanksgiving Jesus spoke about in verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. Jesus said, "And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast. They bear fruit with perseverance." And so for 1987, you need the living word of God within you. You need the word of life. Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." By faith, grasp tightly to Jesus Christ, the living word. Have faith only in him and trust in him alone. When we live in the word and the word lives in us, by faith we possess a life which even the devil can never destroy. Jesus said that when the word falls on good soil, this produces an abundant harvest of fruit, even under the most difficult situations. Oh, don't close your heart to the word of God in 1987. Instead, remain open to the word and the work of the Holy Spirit, for then by the living word, your faith shall go strong and vibrant. I know, of course, that there are indeed those today who try in vain to discredit the power of the seed, the living word of God. An irate reader wrote to the editor of Newsweek magazine recently and said, "As long as we believe the Bible is a God-made book of facts instead of a man-made book of beliefs, this man said, we shall remain mental and emotional retardants." Oh, pity this man. He is blaspheming his only source of life and hope, the living word of God. Like a thirsting, dying man in the middle of a scorching desert, this man is walking away from an oasis. By ridiculing the water of life, he is sealing his doom eternally. Of course, through our weak and limited human eyes, the Bible may indeed look like no more than dead letters and dead words written across cold pages of paper. However, garden seeds, when they arrive in the springtime, in little packages look very much the same way, as if they contain no life. And yet when they are planted, everything changes. Life bursts forth from the seed up through the soil. Imagine the life bundled within a small redwood tree seed. This tiny, helpless-looking seed has the potential of growing into a tall tree, sometimes 350 feet high, higher than most church steeples anywhere in the world. This is the power available to you in 1987. Positive thinking is fine. We should always be positive. But positive thinking is severely limited because it is hinged upon man's limited ability. What you need for your life at this hour, for the coming year, is the power of God, a power which knows no limitations. And where is this power? Through daily devotions in your home, by reading the living Word of God regularly, by attending church where the Word is preached. In this way, the Word prepares the soil of your heart, and then this same Word can also sink its roots deep within the soil. A strong faith shall certainly grow, a faith that even the severest trials of life can never shake. This is life, my friend, life in the living Word of our Lord. Now, isn't this what you desire for 1987? A true, trusting anchor for the stormy sea of life, a solid foundation, ready to withstand those days when everything seems to go wrong. As some people say, when it rains, it pours. During this coming week, keep thinking about the parable that Jesus told. This parable offers you hope, because the power is in the Word of God. And as the prophet Isaiah has clearly stated, this living Word always accomplishes what it is sent out to do. And never think only of yourself, but make arrangements also where your heart and the hearts of your loved ones can be exposed regularly to this powerful, active agent of our God. For you and your loved ones, make 1987 a banner year of hope and strength. Worship the Lord regularly every week in His house. Ask God prayerfully that He would grant you the inquisitive mind of the disciples who pressed Jesus for the interpretation of His teachings about the sower. Study the Word, meditate upon the Word, and let your soul feast upon that same Word. Live with confidence every day in God's living and eternal Word. And yes, most important of all, look then also to Calvary's cross and behold the Word which became flesh. St. John writes in his Gospel, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Indeed, St. John says, "Jesus Christ, the living Word, took on human bones and flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." With flesh and bones, this Word hung on the cross, Jesus bled and died. His suffering and death paid for your sins and mine. And now, because of this, because of Jesus and His death, because He became flesh, because He died a terrible death on the cruel cross, you and I have a new start and a solid, unshakable hope for 1987. Our sins and failures and shortcomings are all washed away. This is the beautiful message of the gospel. God is offering you His perfect pardon. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. And so, my friends, start 1987 with a new slate. Begin with a new unburdened conscience and a cleansed heart. Build for 1987 upon the solid foundation of the living Word, the cleansing Word, the forgiving Word, that Word that guarantees life eternal. And so when you do this by faith, and when you build on the living Word, when your heart is opened as good soil for the seed, then even in the face of trials, problems, and endless frustrations, you can repeat with confidence the words of the great missionary St. Paul, "In 1987, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." Oh, may God grant this to you, my friend, in 1987. It shall be so for you. Amen. It shall be so.